Blog Talk Radio.
Creation cries, holy,
Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. What a beautiful song of worship unto the Lord. You would always be holy, holy forever. Hallelujah. That's what the angels sang up. They will be singing, and they're probably going to sing it again in heavens. Holy, holy, holy. You read that in the book of Revelation. Glory, hallelujah. I understand from one of my sisters from the church there that this song was the number one for a very long time. So you want to get into your daily devotional and you want to worship God. This is one of the songs that I will recommend to be played during that time of devotion. Holy, holy, it takes you there. And there's other songs, but this song is very special. Glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, holy, you would always be holy forever. Hallelujah. By Brother Chris Tomlin, he sings that song. It's so beautiful. There's other people that sing it, like CeCe Winan. She sings it beautiful as well. You know, but I like the version that Tomlin brings out to us. Glory be to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of your host, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. Here on Blog Talk Radio this Sunday, we have a Bible mystery. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to read some verses, and we're going to go forward. And hallelujah, if you're able to answer the questions I did take to you, then you're going to get a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style pamphlet from the church, free of charge. The name of it is The Tabernacle. And it talks about the furnishings, the patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Hallelujah. And we understand that the tabernacle was also called the tents of meetings. God would talk to Moses and the people through the mercy seat. He would be on the mercy seat. He would speak to the people on the mercy seat. The thing with this tent of meeting was that whenever the cloud moved, well, the tent of meeting was taken down, and they followed the cloud. Whenever the cloud stopped, they rebuild the tent of meetings, and they'll continue their ordinations or the sacrifices and the things that were there to do. I would recommend that you would, if you buy it or if you win it, you keep it in your Bible, and if you have appointments and you're waiting to be called, you could take it out and learn of the tabernacle and get to know the colors, the instruments, the way the tabernacle was made. Everything was pointed to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. Even the ropes that hold the garment up around the tent, the ropes, each of them, there's two of them, and each of them has a name. And the colors, glory be to the bronze, speaking of the human nature, the humanity, silver, redemption, gold, royalty, hallelujah, different colors, different things going on in there. And it shows you the Ark of the Covenant, the table of shewbread, the Ark of Incense, the menorah, the laver where the priests washed themselves in, the sacrifice altar, and the grounds there. Oh boy, oh boy, it's a very good study to learn, and it's good to learn it because you ever get into a conversation of the Old Testament and you're talking about the tabernacle, it's good to know these things. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. You're hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to read a scripture before we get into our lesson. And it's going to be taken from the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was considered a major prophet only because he wrote a lot. He was a major prophet because he wrote a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He wrote a lot. And the book of Isaiah, having 66 chapters, it's also called, also known as the Little Bible, because we know that our Bible, the King James Version that we carry, has 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, total of 66 books. Now, we know that some Bibles in the old times, they used to have the Acapharia books with them, and determined at a meeting that these were not canon, so they took them out. But some Bibles still carried them, some of them in the middle between the Old and the New Testament, some of them at the very end. I have the individual books, but I have a Bible. It's called the Defender Bible, which I got from the Prophecy Watches. And it has the Acapharia books in the back. And it's very interesting because even though they're not canon, they're not considered canon, but they do have a lot of interesting information that in between the Testament, the Old Testament, the New Testament, what happened. Now, some people say that God was silent for 400 years. I don't think so. I believe that God spoke very clearly within those 400 years. And you know, you have to read the material so you could understand. It's like being in a classroom, and in that day, there is a test that's going to be given. Well, when the test is handed out for everybody to do the test, Most of the time, that teacher is silent. She doesn't say a word. And so, in between the Testaments and even in the New Testament, as we go into trials and tribulations, it appears like God is silent. It appears like we can't pray enough, and he was not reaching heaven, and we haven't heard his voice. But you know, if you listen, he speaks very loud, very clearly. The word of God tells us the heavens and the earth proclaim his hand. And when you read in Psalms, when you read Ecclesiastes, when you read these poetical books, it talks about there's a voice that goes out from the heavens, from the earth, and it talks about the creation. It talks about what God has done. So we're going to be reading today from the book of Isaiah, and we're going to read from verse 1 of chapter 43, and we'll read up to what the Lord says. We'll read up to verse 15. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And Blog Talk Radio, we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors, and call us here at Blog Talk Radio. The number here is 516-418-5944. The number again is 516-418-5944. If you wish to send an email, you could send it to WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. WTLTabernacle@gmail.com. Or if you wish to speak with the pastor after the program is over at 8 o'clock or so, You could call 772-626-3178. That number again is 772-626-3178. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But right now, until the program ends at 8 o'clock, you could call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. We don't see those. We don't hear those people in the background, but they're there. They're making sure that everything is running in order. And we want to praise God for them. We want to pray for them and for the family, that no harm and danger will come their way. Let me give you a little disclaimer and a little itinerary before we go on with the reading. The disclaimer is that the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they do not belong to Pastor Ramos. They do not belong to the church, the Way, the Truth, and Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to the Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing the song, who wrote the song and produced it. Those who are the ones who owns the songs. But because we bought the original CDs and DVDs, in it we have permission to use their song, Glory to the Lord. The itinerary of the church, and that is that every Sunday at 7 p.m., we have the Bible mystery. Every week it's a different mystery. And if you have the answer to the mystery, you'll get a beautiful, colorful, accordion-style type of pamphlet. This time we're giving out the tabernacle. Hallelujah. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer, where we pray for everything from the peace of Jerusalem down to our government. We have different subjects to pray for. And if you call, as the Spirit leads, you will be allowed to pray for several of them. And then we have on Thursday at 7 p.m., we have our Bible study. We've been studying the topic. It's very interesting. What's next? What's happening next? What do we, the church, expect to happen next? And we've been looking at different subjects that we believe is going to happen next. The imminent expectation that we have right now is the rapture, the gathering of the saints up into the clouds to meet the Lord and forever to be with him. And then after a period of time, we'll come back with him to the earth. The rapture, it goes to the clouds. The second coming is to the earth, to Mount Olivet. Please don't get that confused. Some people do. Some people don't believe in the rapture because that word is not found in the English version. And that's true. It's not found in the English version, just like Trinity. It's not found just like the word Bible. It's not found, you know. But if you go back to the original Latin that Jerome wrote, you're going to see that when he came to the Greek word harpazo, which means caught away or cached up, he used the word rapilmo. In Latin, rapilmo, it means in English rapture. In the King James Version, we have, instead of rapture, we have caught up. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up together with them. And we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye, like Corinthians says. Hallelujah. And we're going to meet the Lord in the cloud. We're going to recognize him because we're going to be just like him. So that's the immediate expectation, imminent expectation of the rapture, of the gathering of the saints. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And some people believe in the pre-tribulational rapture. That's myself and others born-again Christians. Some people believe in the mid-tribulation rapture, and some people believe in the post-tribulation rapture, and some people don't believe the rapture is found in the Bible. But you know what? If we're wrong and it's mid-tribulation or post-tribulation, you know, we're still going to go up because we're born-again Christians. We're considered the wife, the bride of the bridegroom. If, like we believe it is, pre-tribulational, then those people that are waiting for the mid-trib or the post-trib, they're going to be left behind to deal with the 7-year tribulation that's coming upon the earth when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to read now from Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to 15. And then we'll get into our subject, into the class for today. Beginning at verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be a burn, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore would I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, said the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have shown when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon, and I have brought down all their nobles and Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Praise God. That's the word of the Lord from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 15. And as you read it, you want to meditate upon it, and you want it to come in your soul, in your spirit, because, you know, in the eyes of God, we are special. At one time, we was wretched. At one time, we were sinners and disobedient. But Christ exchanged position with us. He became sin that knew no sin, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, yes, we don't want to have a false humility. Yes, we're humble. In this flesh, we are sinners. But we have to look at ourselves the way God looks at us. He looks at us now as righteous and holy because Christ paid the price for our sin. And you remember what the Bible says, that death is a wager, something that we get for doing. So the wages of sin is death. So we know that death is a wager, and a lot of us were working for those wages, and we didn't even know that we were dead, that we were heading straight for hell. But God loves, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. He gave his life for your life, for my life, and all. Let me ask you a question. We know that the Ten Commandments that we have in our Bibles are considered the moral law. And so the way to judge yourself, because I can't judge you. You know, you judge yourself, only God judges you. And God doesn't send anyone to hell. All he does is accommodate their wishes. So let's go over these commandments, okay? Have we lied in the past? Have you lied in the past? I venture to say that everybody will say yes. So what is considered a person who tells lies? A liar. A person takes or steals something that's not his. No matter how expensive the price is, the item costs. So I venture to say that all of us, whether it was a piece of candy, whatever it was, we taking something that didn't belong to us. So what do they call those people that steal stuff that don't belong to them? Thieves. So right now we got two commandments against us, right? We are liars and thieves. And the third commandment is, Jesus said, if you look at a person to lust after them, you've committed adultery. Have we done that? Yes, males look at other female, or look at females with a crooked eye, and sometimes they stare, sometimes they take a second look, and they have a desire in their heart for that woman. And women do likewise. They look at a guy and they like the guy, and you know, he's got good muscles, got good looks, he's handsome, he's tall, he's dark. Whatever it may be, whatever attracts her, she does the same thing. So what happens to, what is the core person that does that? An adulterer. So there's three strikes against us: lying, thief, and adultery. You know, and have we ever taken God's name in vain? Yes, we have. We don't use our mother's name as a curse word, but we use his name as a curse word. You know, that is blasphemy. So, you know, we examine ourselves and look in the mirror of God's word. You know, we'll see that we are a thief, adulterer, a blasphemer, and a thief. And when you look at the Bible carefully, it'll tell you that those people that commit those sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we are sincere and honest and answer the question, you know, where would we go, heaven or hell? The answer would have to say hell, because we've broken four out of the Ten Commandments. That's only four. Six of them are still there pointing at us, you know? Oh, well, some people might excuse themselves and say, oh, well, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. He's worse than me. It doesn't matter. In the eyes of God, sin is sin. Some nicely and say that's a white sin. But sin is sin in the eyes of God. And when you read Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says sin has separated us from God. You know? Yes, so hell, we're destined for hell. We have a life sentence. But God did something very beautiful for us. And if we're sincere and we read our scriptures, we will understand what God did for us. He sent forth and he also gave his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for the sins that we committed. So he paid the price. He shed his precious blood on that cross and on the whipping pole, and he died, was buried, and resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. He did that for you and I. He took our place. Now, you might say, but Brother Ramos, you know, we were destined for hell. Well, Jesus did go to the underworld, and he preached to those disobedient spirits. So he did go to the underworld. He took the keys away of hell and death from Satan. You read Revelations carefully. He says he's got the keys of hell and hell and death. And then he ascended. So you and I, because of what Christ has done, in the eyes of God, are found to be innocent. We're not guilty of any sin. Christ paid the price for sin. What we have to do now is live holy and righteous before God. We don't want to go back to sin. We don't want to be like a dog that goes back to his vomit, you know? We don't want to be, we should know exactly, you know, by studying the Bible, what God wants us to do. We don't want to be double-minded. One day here, one day there. No, the Bible says, you know, you don't want to be double-minded. How can we expect anything from God if we're double-minded? We don't want to be like an empty cloud. Clouds are supposed to be carrying water. We don't want to be like a ship tossed to and fro in the ocean by the wind. We don't want to be a ship without a rudder, you know. So there's a lot of things that in our life, the perspective of our lives. And the thing is, you have to remember one thing. We are still in this human body. So we do have the propensity to commit sin and to do certain acts that it's not right for us to do, to engage in things that we are not supposed to be doing. So, you know, Christ gave us life where we was dead before. In 2 Ephesians, it says we were dead in our sins. But the Holy Spirit quickened us and we became alive to the things of God. Before, the things of God was bothersome. Now, we can't wait. We can't wait. We want to hear the beautiful songs. We want to fellowship. We want to go and evangelize. You know, that's our job, to evangelize, to go out and make disciples and do the things that God tells us to do. You know, even if you tell somebody God loves you, have a beautiful day, you know, and you didn't engage in giving out tracts or evangelizing, you know, it's okay. You begin that way. And then you want to be able to take a class on evangelism. You have two type of evangelisms out there in the world. One is a friendship evangelism, where you deal with people on a friendship relationship, and it might take some time before you ask them to come to church, or if they read the Bible, it might take some time because there's a friendship relationship. You don't want to push it. The other one is a more direct way of speaking to people. You tell them about the commandments of God, and you bring them to the crossroads of their life, and they have to choose how they want to proceed. And the thing is, you don't have to worry about seeing the deal. That's not your shoulder. It's not your job. You can't save nobody. The only one that saves us is the Lord. He's our Savior. So some plant seeds, some water seeds, but God is the one that gives the increase. So the thing is to go out there and just tell someone God loves them. That little word might change their life completely. They might be going through struggles, problems, and a little friendship word changed their life completely. Hallelujah. And that's the work that God calls us to do after we're saved. We can't do anything to get salvation. Salvation is free. It's a free gift, according to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. You know, but after we are saved, then we go out and do the work that the Lord called us to do. Now, some of our work is gold, silver, or bronze, solid. The people that, you know, the things that we're doing, you know, in a loving way. We're doing it because we want to do it. We do it because we have a relationship with the Lord. Some people, though, you know, they don't have a relationship with the Lord, or some people might think that they're going to get something in return, or that, oh, some people do it things grudgingly. I have to do it, you know, and that's like wood, stubble, and hay. And the Bible says that these things will be tested by fire. So we know gold, silver, and bronze will survive the fire, but wood, stubble, and hay will not survive. It'll burn off. So do the work that the Lord has called us. So let's go on to our Bible mystery for today to see if any of us could find the answer. And it'd be very nice if you could come up with the answer, and you know, the church will mail you out that beautiful gift. So let's look at the question. The question is, what are the seven stars and seven candlesticks? You know, if I tell you where to look, then I'm going to be giving you the answer. So I don't give answers. I want you to study them. The Bible said, study yourself, approve unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, salvation is of God. He's the one that draws you by the Holy Spirit and saves you. No one can be saved on their own. There's nothing that we could do on our own that could cause us to get saved. Now, it's a free gift. All we have to do is accept it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have you been to a birthday party? I venture to say that most of us all have gone to a birthday party here or there, or a celebration here or there, and we brought gifts to the people that are in there, the main subjects of that celebration. And now if that person doesn't take the gift that you brought them, then that gift is not theirs. But you're hoping that when you give them the gift, they're going to receive it and enjoy it and thank you for it. They don't have to thank you, but the main thing is, you know, they received it. And same thing with salvation. God has made it possible for us in Christ Jesus to accept the gift of salvation. We don't have to die in this flesh and end up in hell. You don't have to go that way. God made a way for us to be saved. When you read the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by me. So, you know, as we grew up, we follow our friends, and we went here and there. There was a special walk that we did. There was a special way we going in our life. And sometimes some people's life is in conjunction with what the parents taught them, and they're successful. You know, they get finish their education, they get a good job. You know, others they go on their own merry way. They want to do their things their way. You know, whether they fail or they succeed, they want to do it their way. And unfortunately, it's not the way to do it. There's only one way. Christ is the way, you know. And some people, you know, they want to live and they follow friends, you know, because the friends tell them the truth. You know, it's very difficult to find a friend that's going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts. You know, they are putting in balance their friendship with you, and you know, they know that at any minute you could turn and tell them, get out. But you want a friend that will tell you the truth, even if it hurts, because they're looking out for your best interest. And that's the way with Jesus. Jesus will tell you the truth. He said the truth will set you free. The Son will set you free. Now, one time we was dead in our sins. But because of Jesus, we have eternal life. We have eternal life. So that's why he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So, you know, there is a saying out there that there's many walks, many ways, many directions that lead to the same place. People say, you know, there's a lot of religions, but they lead you to the same place. No, that's false. That's a lie of the enemy. There's only one way, one truth, and one life, and that's Jesus Christ. And you have to come by. He is the door. We are the sheep. He's the shepherd. We are the sheep. He is the door to the sheepfold. You can't get no. You can't climb over unless you're a thief. You know, and you won't make it in. Now, when you go to those people who will go to the Great Tribulation and end up going to the Great White Throne, they don't go to heaven. They don't go to the Bema Seat of Christ. Go to the Great White Throne. You're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to. The first book that he's going to open up is the Book of Life in the Lamb. And if your name is not found there, there's no other reason to go to any of the other books. And you end up going to the lake of fire where Satan, where the Antichrist and the false prophet will end up there. The false Messiah, they all will end up there, you know. And so he knows he's been judged already. So he wants as many people to go down with him as he will. So when Jesus opened the books, he just going to accommodate what the people have a reason to accept. They rejected God's salvation in Christ Jesus. So, you know, when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, it means that you're following the way of Satan. And he's going to end up in hell. And that's where you want to hell. Because the way to make it into heaven is only through Jesus Christ. So if you don't choose Jesus Christ, then you're choosing hell. And, you know, that's a very difficult thing to follow. So what are the seven stars and seven candlesticks? You could call Blog Talk Radio here with the answer 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. You know, once again, I would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Today, the Bible Mysteries. What are the seven stars and seven candlesticks? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So the first thing that we're going to look at is one that delivers a message. You know, you go to church and you have a Sunday school teacher. You have a pastor or a minister that's delivering the word to you during the service times. You know, so that's a hint there to help you understand what are the seven stars and what are the seven candlesticks. You know, a gathering is the second one. Gathering, who's going to attend the gathering? Are the unbelievers going to attend the gathering? No, only believers. So, you know, what are the gatherings? What's happening with the gathering? You know. Another word is assembly. We know from the book of Hebrews, God admonishes us and he tells us, don't forsake the assembly of yourselves, you know, because of the day of the Lord is coming. We don't know when is it going to be, you know. You got seven stars and seven candlesticks. And John, when he received the vision, wrote it in a book. You know, if you read the book or you read part of the book, you have the answer right in front of you. What are the seven stars and what are the seven candlesticks? And we understand that, you know, there were congregations in Turkey, you know, and there was letters that John received visions. And he sent these letters out to the different congregations in Asia Minor, you know, so the people could read what the spirits say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got about 14 minutes to go. And I gave you all the four hints for you to understand and have the answer to what are the seven stars and seven candlesticks. You could call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number one to be connected to the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you understand the other side of the world, you just get it up now. But if you want to write us to the email, it's WTL Tabernacle. And Tabernacle is spelled TABERNACLE. WTL Tabernacle @gmail.com. And you could write us an email, drop us a line, and and we'll see if you got the right answer. We'll know you got a beautiful, beautiful gift. Yeah, and those of you that send the email, I would appreciate if you put your mailing address there as well. Glory to your whole name and your mailing address. Thank you, Jesus. If you want to speak to the pastor after the program is over, you could call 772-626-3178. So the question is, what are the seven stars and seven candlesticks? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, God is great. God is wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And while we are coming to the ending of the program, you know, in the background, I'm going to put a little bit of music, and it's called Anointing Fall on Us, but it's instrumental. It's no singing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And that's the way I want to record this. You got about 11 minutes to go. You know, what are the seven candlesticks? What are the seven stars? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible tells us, Paul speaks to Timothy. He says, study yourself, approve unto God. Our workmen need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, you know, when you study your Bible, you want to look at it carefully. You want to read it carefully. And you want to understand the context of what it's saying. Who's writing it? Who? What are they writing about? Who are they writing to? Because there's a lot of things in the Bible that pertain to the Jewish people. A lot of things in the Bible that pertain to the Gentiles. And a lot of things that belong to the church. Now, there is a false teaching out there for replacing theology. They're saying that the church has replaced Israel. That is the false teaching. And I'll give you one verse to disprove that teaching. And that is 1 Corinthians 10:32. It says, do no harm to the church, the Gentiles, or to the Jewish nation. So we understand from those verses, God included all three peoples there. So there's no way that the church, who's also included there, has replaced Israel. I'm going to go to the original there, 1 Corinthians 10:32. Okay. 10:32, and it says, I'm looking at 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 10:32. 1 Corinthians 10:32. And the Word of God says, give not offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, known to the Church of God. So here we have the three groups that God is speaking about, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church. So, you know, if the Church replaced the Jews, then the Jews should not be mentioned there. But God, the Holy Ghost, Paul, wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and he mentioned that we are not to bring no offense to the Jews, no offense to the Gentiles, and no offense to the Church. So that debunks the replacement theology. So, you know, if that is something that somebody taught you, it's best to throw that in the garbage because it's not part of the gospel. Remember, the gospel is, you find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, that Jesus Christ was, he died, he was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. The word of God says, if anybody comes to you, whether for an angel from heaven or any of us, preaching a different gospel, let him be accursed. So there's only one gospel that we recognize as the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a false gospel up there that is more humanism than anything else. It depends on you. And so we have to be very careful. Replacement theology is not of God. He did not replace the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, you know, when Jesus comes back the second time with his church, with the army of heaven, the Mount Olivet, he's going to go to Petra. And in Petra, you're going to have the remnant of Jewish people, the one-third that was saved, and he's going to rescue them. He's going to save them. The Bible says all Israel will be saved, thank the Lord. And they'll be there to be rescued by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes, two-thirds of Israel will die because that's what's going to happen. The tribulation, those that ran to Petra will be hit because the Bible says the Antichrist cannot come against Petra. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We've got about 7 minutes to go. And the question is, what are the seven stars and seven candlesticks? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me just go into the chat room, make sure nobody's there with the answer, and see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're connected now, and we're in the chat room, and no one there but me. So we'll go back to the radio station, and we're here, and so far we haven't received a phone call. Remember, you can call Blog Talk Radio at 516-418-5944. Press number 1 to be connected to the studio. We have the answer to the question, what are the seven stars and seven candlesticks? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Of these things, you know, it's the trivia questions. We call it a Bible mystery. Some people say the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible has another explanation. The Bible will confirm itself. And where you think there is a confusion or contradiction, it's a mystery. We have to dig a little bit deeper. We have to look at the whole Bible to see what the answer is. We have to understand, if you keep this in your mind and remember, in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Hallelujah. So in the Old Testament, you're going to see the New Testament is concealed. And in the New Testament, you're going to see the Old Testament revealed. It's open. Like Daniel, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, they all spoke of the end times. But John received the revelation of everything. So those are the four revelatory of this gospel book. There's more than that, but I'm just saying those are the major ones. Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, and Revelations. Glory be to the Lord. And we know when you read the words that Jesus spoke, if you read them carefully, some of the words are prophetic as well. Like, for instance, when in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 to 3, it says, if you believe in God, believe also. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. Like, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will return and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. So you see, even Jesus Christ spoke of the rapture. Now, when you take the whole context of chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, that is called a Jewish idiom. Because when he says, I take you unto myself, it's another word for marriage. The bridegroom is going to marry the bride. When you read Revelation, it says the marriage of the Lamb. The bride has not made herself ready. And Jesus is coming, a poor bride without a spot, who has his garments without a spot or wrinkle. And we know that the bride of the bridegroom, she makes herself ready. The wife makes herself ready. And she doesn't have a spot or wrinkle on her garment. Her garment is pure white linen garment. And the Bible says that those linen garments are the righteousness of saints. The white linen garment. So we want to praise God that he remembered us and kept us going. Keep us in Christ Jesus. We got about 2 minutes to go, and you have an opportunity to call and get the prize, the tabernacle, the pamphlet of the tabernacle, accordion colorful style. Glory be to the Lord. It talks about the furnishings, patterns of worship, the Ark of the Covenant, symbolisms that point to Jesus, sacrifices in the tabernacle, and the garments of the high priest. Glory be to the Lord. And remember one thing, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that's going on in the world. You need to be attentive. Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And Jesus Christ is coming back, you know, to rescue Israel. He's coming back to rescue Israel, and he's coming back without sin. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We are those that believe in the salvation of the soul, the saving of the souls. And that's why we encourage people, we beg people, have people, we talk to people in the ways we do, because we know they're of God, and we want you to be saved. We don't want you to be left behind. So this program is going to come to the end. So what I'm, like I always say, close out, may the Lord richly bless you. Until Tuesday at 7 p.m. where we come back for our intercessory prayer, God bless you, and we love you.